It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior because I'm on the grill?
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drink.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Hey, welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and here on Jethro FM, man. We are glad to be here. Spring might have sprung. We had some colder weather this week, but the forecast coming up, as I'm hear about it, is we might bust into the 60s next week. So I'm fired up to get my grill area going, and that's what we're going to talk about this week is getting a area in your backyard, side yard, on your deck, whatever. Prep it for the grilling season because there are some things you can do to make it better. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, babe?
I'm trying to make it better myself, bro. So we love anticipating, you know, the perfect grill scenario, and what we're going to do now is help you all do that. Jop is a really good planner. He had a kitchen shop for 5 years and planned out kitchens, and he's just one of those planning types. So we're going to pick his brain on maybe some outdoor kitchen ideas, and of course we're going to help you figure out some of the small logistic things like, you know, what do you normally like to grill? What do you plan on grilling in the future? Because you might say, oh, man, I just got a new grill. Well, guess what? You're probably going to get a smoker someday.
Right.
And so have an area for it or be ready for solid fuels, all those things. And that's just what we're going to get into.
Yeah. So speaking about favorite things to grill, you know, there are no new recipes. You just see something and you're like, oh, man, that looks good. I'm going to give that a try. Well, I hit one of these last week. I saw skinless, boneless chicken thighs and a recipe for them, and they came. They were cooked in a little muffin tin, rectangular ones, though, not round,
mm-hmm.
right? So I went on Amazon, and I bought these muffin tins. It's 8 little compartments. So simple recipe, but they turned out fantastic. Skinless, boneless chicken thigh.
Love them.
Right? And clean the fat off them a little bit, but lay it. There's a smooth side and a rough side.
Right.
The rough side's where it came off the bone. Okay, so lay that rough side up. And I had guests that like spicy food, and I had guests that like not spicy food. So what I did is I put 4 of them. I put a jalapeno in there with, if you've ever heard of Borzen cheese,
love
it. It's a goat cheese that's garlicky.
Let me ask you a question. How many of those pans did you buy?
I bought 2.
And so there's how many little compartments?
There's 8
in each,
compartments in
each
one.
In each pan.
Right. So I had my son and daughter-in-law coming over, and the son likes spicy stuff. Of course, the daughter-in-law doesn't. Lisa's kind of in the middle. I like it spicy. So I did 8 of those breasts, or excuse me, 8 of those thighs with a jalapeno in there with the boars and cheese. And then I did regular bell peppers, those little ones that you can buy.
So did you rub some oil or something on the bottom of that tin, or what do you do to prep it?
No, but I'll get to that, okay? So then I lay that pepper in there with the cheese down and then fold it over top, flip it over so the smooth side's up. Then I took a piece of bacon and I wrapped it around there, and the 2 ends of the bacon were on the bottom.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so then I set it like a deck of cards into that tin.
You pre-built it and set them into the tin.
Right, and I set it into the tin. But then the recipe that I saw, and I can't take credit, but the recipe I saw, you took a little pat of butter and slid it in there between the bacon and the chicken thigh,
just
like right on top. Just on top. Well, what it did is it melted, and it created a nonstick in that little pan, and they kind of cooked in butter.
Yeah.
And
bacon
so,
and butter.
Right. Yeah, bacon grease and butter. So then 10 minutes before I was ready to serve them, they were cooked. They were at 165 internal temperature. I pulled them out of there and put them on a baking rack. And then, but before I did that, I dunked each one of them in that Harvest Apple barbecue sauce that I love. Okay. And I thinned it with a little water and I heated it up because I just wanted to dunk them in there and pull
just
it out and
glaze.
Set them on the rake.
Yeah.
On the rack. And then I put the rack back in the smoker for about 10 minutes just to tackify, right, that oh, my God, were those good. And it was simple ingredients. So, you know, 5 ingredients. I didn't make any of it. All I did was put it together, and it was fantastic.
So you
man.
Take the skinless, boneless chicken thigh.
Right.
You put a little boursin down.
Right. Well, in the pepper. I have the pepper and put the boursin in the pepper.
But then
I put
a boat out of it.
But, yeah, okay. But I put the boursin side down up against so it wouldn't leak out. So when I set it in there, it was right side up. Get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then wrapped it together, sent a piece of bacon around it, set it in that tin, Just put it on the smoker till it got to 165, man. It was super easy, super amazing. I'd do it again tomorrow. I mean, they were that good. And I, of course, I made 16 of them, and they're small, you know, right? So
but one thigh is a meal.
Right, yeah. For Lisa and Ashley, it was, you know. Ian and I each ate a couple of them, but then I ate them for 2 or 3 days after.
Nice.
So, man, I mean, just super good.
But that little bit of sweet at the end, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Love that apple barbecue sauce.
I do, man. It's really good on chicken. Awesome on pork, too. But you can get that anywhere. It's kind of a harvest apple. I got this one from Dunnebeck Orchards up in the northwest side of Grand Rapids. Before my son got married, he lived right across the street from the place.
Sobey has one that's a bacon apple dressing.
Ooh, haven't had that one.
It's really good.
That's kind of what I did, though.
Would have been perfect.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep. So, cool. But anyway, so that was the fun thing that I grilled this week. And I'm always trying something new, and you know, but hell, it was fun, and it turned out, it's really good when they turn out like that, and people are like, "Holy cow, this is awesome!" It's like, yeah, I read about it. I can't take credit, but
that's cool.
You know, you and I, we get hundreds of emails a week about try this, try that, this recipe, that recipe.
I only get one.
Well, that's because you stopped being on Google, right? You're on DuckDuckGoose or whatever that's called now. So anyway, yeah, but.
Well, I've been making plans to get the catering gig going a little bit bigger. You know, I went to that wedding in Dearborn a couple weeks ago, and this guy, our friend's father and all his brothers own restaurants. They're Lebanese.
Okay.
And they, you know, the Dearborn and Detroit area have a lot of Greek and Lebanese people owning restaurants.
Wonderful
Coney
food.
Islands and all that stuff. Well, he was talking about surviving COVID and how he lost all of his staff.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to come back. That's a common story. So what he did was he switched to heavily leaning towards carryout.
Sure.
Because he has limited wait staff and everybody wants carryout anyway. And he said now 80% of his business is carryout.
Right.
So that kitchen that we rent in Lowell, there's a family that comes in there on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and does Mexican 3 days, all carryout. And they sell out every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right.
And
food's good.
The food's good. So I've made arrangements to grab Wednesday and Thursday, and I'm going to do carryout barbecue Wednesday and Thursday. So I'm only doing it two nights a week. I'm not, you know, it's not going to own me, but that gets my itch satisfied a little bit and lets me, you know, do a little more production.
Yep. Are you still working on the recipe or I mean, excuse me, not the recipe, the menu? Have you decided what that's going to be?
Yeah, it's probably just going to be brisket and pulled pork initially.
Okay.
And sandwiches or the meat on its own. And then
by the pound or something.
Beans and coleslaw and a roll or a bun.
Right.
Not totally solidified. I don't know that I'm going to get into cornbread and all those other things. I might be doing some Southern Mac.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel my way in and see what the appetite of the crowd is. And
you got that recipe for those award-winning bitchin' beans, man.
Yeah.
I mean, don't sell yourself short on those. Those things are amazing. But anyway, you'll figure it out. So have you got a tentative start date or not yet?
I'm working on it. It's not far away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Not far away. I got some work to do down there.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So you're going to – do they have smokers down there or are you going to –
No, I'm borrowing yours.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm thinking about taking it into the shop and fixing. I want to add a little power to it.
Yeah, yeah, it needs it.
Yeah,
it needs it.
I think
that firebox is about 2/3 of what it used to be after we modified it, and therefore
I'll take the blame for
it. No, there's no blame.
I modified
it. It was an idea, and you know what? We tinkered with it, and then
so
it
I'm going to put a couple little gas burners on each side.
Yeah, that's fine.
So it's got a boost.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, I've got a beautiful little fenced-in area in the back I can lock up. If I want to let it go all night, I can just throw it in there and come back in the morning. And
right. That'll be great.
Yeah, I know.
Awesome.
I know.
Good.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, so am I. I'll get in there and be your sous chef, help you a few times. That should be fun.
Yeah. Well, I need somebody to...
I want all the credit and none of the money. That's all.
I need somebody to run the meals out to the cars.
Do you? Yeah. I'll go fetch some money and I'll then return these plates out there.
Well,
with you.
Yeah. You know, Friday night that they're doing Mexican is probably your biggest takeout night, but I think Wednesday and Thursday will be good
too. I don't
know,
man. There's a lot of people that work hard and want to feed a family, it's just easier to drive by.
I've got friends that do takeout every night
way
home.
Well, coming up next, we're going to dive into the backyard and try to help you set it up so it's the perfect grilling space. Stick with us. We'll be back. This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com. Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network.
We're just busting here.
We're just busting Conrad's chops a little bit during the break, but man, he makes it so easy sometimes.
It's a layup.
But he's such a good guy, and he takes it well. So I respect that. But anyway, if you just tuned in, we were talking about all the crazy stuff that we're doing. Barbecue Bob's going to bust out some catering this spring and summer.
So, Lowell's going to have some takeout.
Yeah, some really good barbecue takeout. I can guarantee it. But so if you don't want to come and eat some of Bob's takeout, then maybe you want to do some of this in your backyard. And that's where we're going to take the rest of the show, is talking about what to do in your backyard to make it whatever it is you want it to be as far as an outdoor kitchen.
Yeah, and we're going to try and break it down so that you can think about your project, because it'll be a project. I mean, none of this is that easy.
Right.
It takes money. It takes time. You're spending nights after work and weekends and trying, because you want to get it going right now.
Right.
Because next thing you know, summer will be here and you'll want that baby done.
Yeah, you want to be using it, not building it at that point in time.
Yeah so I guess one of the questions that is natural is, how many pieces do you need?
And pieces, you mean by?
Equipment.
Cooking equipment. Well, that's a big question because it has a few qualifiers, I think.
And we're not the ordinary. We have a lot of pieces.
Right.
The average guy, what's he going to have? One or two? Maybe three?
Maybe three, but probably one or two. That being a grill of some sort and a smoker is quite typical. Now, let's dive into that. A grill. You've got a couple types, right? You've got fossil fuels, which are gas, or you've got wood, which is a charcoal grill, right? So you and I have both, because I think that each of them cook a little differently.
Yeah, and that's an area that, you know, a lot of people overlook. So many people have gone to gas and never looked back.
Right.
I would tell you to take a good look at the basic Weber kettle and have one charcoal, because there are times, I mean, you can smoke on a Weber kettle. Let's say, well, I don't have $1,000 for a smoker. I don't have electric. I don't have this or that back there. You can get a Weber kettle. I was just at the hardware store the other day, $179.
Right. And it'll last you a long time, as well as it's very versatile. So let's talk a little bit about how to use that Weber kettle to make it versatile, right?
Yeah.
So first and foremost is, this is a charcoal grill, but you can burn lump charcoal, which is hardwood, or you can burn briquettes, which is probably more popular with a lot of people, is they think
it
of their
is.
Kingsford or it whatever
is.
Other
and
brand.
And I think for a kettle, too, if you're used to using briquettes, you got to be careful when you go to lump.
Right.
Because it's really hot.
Right.
And
a lot
might
hotter.
Start burning your stuff.
Right. So,
but let's say you're going to convert it into a smoker and you're going to move all your coals to one side.
Right.
Now's when your lump turns out really nice.
Right. So the difference between a smoker and a grill is indirect versus direct heat. Okay. A smoker has indirect heat. You're cooking with ambient heat rather than radiant heat directly underneath your food.
Yep.
So, but this kettle, you can do both. Because as Bob just described, is you get a fire in there and you slide it over to one side and you put your food on the opposite side, then you've got the ambient heat.
Or radiant.
Right.
So one of the things about the radiant side of it is Your charcoal, if you've got a circle and you cut it in half, you draw a line down the middle, your charcoal's on one side, your food's on the other, up above on the rack. Well, that wants to radiate up towards the stuff that's closer to the center.
Oh, sure.
So you can actually make a little partition for that just out of a piece of sheet metal, or have somebody build one for you. I don't know if Weber finally figured it out that they need to offer one, because it'd be something they could sell.
Right.
But if you make a partition, it'll actually do a beautiful job smoking.
You know, and I've seen them as simple as 4 or 5 layers of tin foil that you fold, and it'll stand up
Absolutely.
A little bit, and you just set that down in there, and then bump your coals up against it, and it won't fall over, and it creates the same thing. You're just trying to get the heat on
or
one
like
side.
Or like in every garage, if every dad, you have something you tore apart, and you've got a little piece of sheet metal, a panel, a brick panel, something like that, that is just going to be a handy little piece of patch metal for you, because, I mean, like I do, I'm always using metal pieces and snips just to patch things up and jerry-rig it, right?
Yeah.
And that's your piece of metal right there, some 22 gauge or something that you can cut with some big snips. Make your arcs down the side, and then when you get to the bottom, just make a couple tongues that go down into those grates so it'll stand up. And I'll tell you what, that thing will turn into a beautiful smoker.
Right.
When I was in California doing those gigs out there, I was amazed that how many people, and I've told you this before, but how many people had 3 kettles on their deck.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they use is charcoal.
Right.
In the Sacramento area. Anyway.
Right. So charcoal grills give a very different flavor to your food than a gas grill, which is why you'd want one. But the only drawback in our crazy busy society is it takes you 15, 20 minutes to get a fire hot.
Yeah, or a half hour.
Right. So,
if it's briquettes especially.
So that's why people don't want to have a charcoal grill. They want a gas grill because it's turn the knob, hit the igniter, whoo. You know, your fire comes on,
well,
and in
yeah.
a minute or two, your grill's
and
ready to go.
And that's our fault, because we try and rush everything we do.
Yeah, too much. We do too much too little time.
You come home from work, throw some charcoal in there, put your lighter sticks down, light that baby up, leave the lid off, and go inside, hug the wife, do all your
Pet
stuff.
Pet the dogs.
Start prepping your food or see what she wants. Put, you know, just do it a half hour early and you're not behind.
Right.
You're not under the gun.
And it's a lot better. Now,
it's habit.
It is. Routine. If you've got a wood deck that you're setting this on, be careful, because wood burns and charcoal is hot and sparks happen. But, you know, the easiest solution to that is put a mat underneath the grill, and it can be metal or some non-flammable.
They do make a nice kind of a fireproof rubber kind of mat.
Yep, that's it.
And they're not that bad.
No. Nope. But it's a safety feature, and they look good. And that, if you do get grease dripping out the bottom of your grill, then it catches that, and it's not staining your wood and forever.
Yep.
That happens. So that's just something that is often overlooked, but a great addition to a nice grilling
area. It's cheaper than a new deck.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Everything is cheaper than a new deck. But so charcoal, the other side of that is, how big of a charcoal grill do you need? This will go with gas too, but how big of a grill do you need? It's based on the number of people that you usually feed.
Right.
Bob has, in the past, had armies around his house with his boys and all their buddies and girls and all their friends. And
you and all your friends.
Right. But so it's like, how do you live? Bob and I both have a pool in our backyards, and therefore we're entertaining a lot.
Yeah.
And so I and Bob, both of us, need larger capacity, because while it may just be Lisa and I or you and Maureen some of the time, there's a lot of other times there might be 20 hungry people there.
Right.
You know, so you got to be able to produce
at least
food.
6.
Excuse me. Yeah. Yep. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and you're never going to buy a grill to feed 20 people.
There's your sales pitch for your wife in case you have to. There's why you need that second grill.
Right.
You know, have one gas and have one charcoal.
Right.
Because then you have the expansion ability. You can put more product on.
Yep.
And I think you probably need 2 or 3 grills.
Well, that's because you and I think alike. And that's where we've evolved. But, you know, self-proclaimed fanatics about it. I was, you know, Brad was here last week from Garrett's Appliance, and I said the only thing I don't have is a pizza oven, and I'm jonesing for a pizza oven right now. So I don't need one; I just want one.
But, I know.
But anyway, that doesn't
go with your diet,
right? No, it doesn't. I'm not on one. She is.
Oh,
but anyway, stick with us. We'll be back.
Satisfaction's been our aim since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guy.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys. Hey, we were talking about the types of grills on your backyard. We kind of went down a deep rabbit hole on that charcoal grill, but we're out now. So the
you
other
say
one,
rabbit and Conrad
right,
gets hungry. So
we'll finish up that before we move on. Yeah.
Squirrel.
So, you know, charcoal grills, wonderful since the beginning of time. People have been cooking on wood and charcoal. So that's a great thing. But now we live in this society where we need everything in 5 minutes rather than taking our time. And that transitions us all to the gas grill, which probably 99% of our listeners, if they have a grill, that's what they have.
Do you remember the first time you saw a gas grill?
Probably when I was a kid.
In the 80s, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't exactly,
yeah.
But
my dad bought one, and my mom was really good on it.
Well, yeah, my dad never cooked either. It was a generational thing. My dad was a World War II guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I, you know, I share a story, but I won't. But the bottom line is that the grilling is done now 90% of it on a gas grill by most people, which is not a wrong thing.
Yeah, actually, the numbers I remember, it was like 57%.
Really? I'm over exaggerating.
Yeah, a little bit, but that's what we do.
Right. Yeah,
that's why we have a show.
Uh huh. Yeah, my food's awesome. Yeah, I don't exaggerate. It's awesome.
So,
yeah.
So knowing your fuels. And again, probably trying to sell you a little bit, but gas and charcoal is a great idea because they're both there's a season for both.
Yep.
And when it's really cold in the winter and you don't feel like messing around with charcoal, it's so nice to just go out and turn on that gas grill and go back and run in the house and you're socking.
Refill your wine, go back
right.
out, cook the meat.
Snuggle the dog.
Right.
So
yeah.
Then your primary type of cooking. You know, are you the type of person that is going to do a lot of burgers and dogs? You got a bunch of kids and you're doing the sausages and you're just going to flash something? Then I'm going to tell you, if you're just cooking for kids like that, you're going to use the gas most of the time.
Right.
Because
no question. It's quick and easy. They're hungry.
It is.
Yeah.
And you're probably coaching a team that night. Yep. So, but if it's like you go to Sobey and get their brats and you want to do them perfect, then you're going to put them on and you're going to smoke them a bit.
Yep.
Because a smoked brat is so much better than a grilled brat.
Right. Grilled brats can go from good to bad in a hurry because if that skin pops, if that skin pops because the heat's too hot, then they dry out. And that's not a Sobey thing. That's a brat thing.
Yep.
Right? And so that's one of those things. That's just technique is all that is. And that's why a lower grill or a smoker – lower temperature grill or a smoker are going to work a lot better for your brats. But, you know, we all have a variety of cooking, I feel, because there's sometimes that even if you have that many kids, you're still going to throw some steaks or something on the grill for the parents, if not for the entire family.
Yep.
So
another reason to have two grills.
Right, exactly, because steaks on charcoal are so much better than
put the wieners on the gas.
Right.
So then that comes to another question is, how much space can you secure on your deck? And I speak from my perspective because When it comes to the deck, yeah, I did build a 44-foot deck on the back of my house, and then I put additions on each end of it. It's big. But do you think my wife wants to give up any space?
No.
Oh, it's a battle.
Well, and she's, you know, that's why you put additions on each end of it, though, is
that's
because
why
that's where you put your kitchen.
Barbecue shack.
Yeah, that's where you put your kitchen was on one end.
So that's my point is, you know, when you talk to people about their grill area, they'll always say, well, I don't have the room for it. Well, you know, that's going to be a battle.
Well, for a lot of people, the grill area is just the 3 foot by 3 foot space that it takes up.
Right.
Right. Where you and I want my equipment out there, not necessarily installed. It's cool when it is, but that really raises the
Doesn't
price
matter.
Of the project. But they don't have to be.
No.
But I just want them there. I don't want to have to go and move cars and pull stuff out of the garage.
Right.
And, you know, it's personal preference. But Lisa knows she married a grilling guy.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the way it's going to be. And maybe not everybody's wife is so, you know, agreeable that
well,
way.
Well, and I think people listening to this show are the grill freaks.
Maybe.
So they're going to have a lot of the same desires that we have.
Yeah.
And they've already done this
Hope
a lot
so,
of
anyway.
Times.
Yeah.
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 You know, so I think it's a commonality to have to fight for that space. But I guess what I would tell you is there is hope because even though you're looking at your deck, which we all probably made too small when we did the first one, well, your second grill doesn't have to go on that deck next to that piece. I'm going to tell you, your second grill is likely to be your charcoal one because your primary statistics show
right.
more people do gas, right? So maybe next to it on a step down, you can build a little stone patio, put some pavers down or something, and you can put your charcoal grill down there just so it's close and you can still run them both at the same time. But then your solid fuel is in the dirt instead of on the wood.
Right.
And
yeah, or if it gets grease on a patio stone, you can hose it off, put a little cleaner on there and hose the thing off and it'll clean up.
Or you can
and
leave it
not
there.
Flammable. Right. And they're not flammable like a wooden deck is.
That's
so,
the point. Is that that expansion is more likely to be charcoal.
Right.
And the space is more likely to be not available. So I'm just saying you have an alternative.
Speaking of positioning that, not that I know this from firsthand experience, but give yourself about a foot away from your vinyl siding on your house because it will melt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to, you know, and it'll melt where the grill is the hottest and the head. So now you're about 3 foot up. And it's really quite an ordeal to start at the bottom and go all the way up and take all that siding off to replace those two melted
Sounds like
slices.
You know somebody that did that.
I heard about it. Yeah, you know, that internet. It's a
Good
wonderful
thing. Good
thing
you sold thing.
That house. Yeah, exactly. And it didn't burn down when I did it. Yeah,
you've got some other burning stories.
Well, that you know, that's a pellet grill. We don't know. Maybe that's maybe we'll go into that. Maybe we won't. But anyway,
okay. So here's what he did.
When you grill as much as
his
I do,
first pellet
stuff
grill,
happens.
I think is one the one I gave you.
Right.
Yeah, the one that fell off the back of my car.
Yeah, she's a little beat up, but she still works.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, actually, I missed that thing. You were trying to grill inside your garage, right? Because
it was raining.
It was raining.
Yeah. And you know what? This is
using a pellet grill inside his garage because it was raining. There's another good thing to build. There's why you need that little roof we talk about
right.
all the time. Just a little cabana somewhere.
Yep.
Or a pool umbrella.
Right. And or the overhang on your garage. But I thought. Anyway.
That's called the door.
Well, it was halfway in, halfway out. Give me a break. But anyway, so I had just cleaned the grill, right? That was the key is I keep my grilling equipment clean and
yeah,
I had taken it apart and I put it back together. Maybe wrong. And if any of you know what a pellet grill is, it augers pellets into a hot box and that's where you get your flame. Well, I had built it, put it back together 180 degrees wrong, and it was augering out pellets into the firebox, but the fire went back into the auger.
It plugged up. The fire burnt up the auger, Conrad. And when he said hot box, that's what he's talking about. It wasn't like high school,
right?
So I had a lid. I had a lid on the pellet box, right? As all pellet grills do. And when I opened that lid, it got a gulp of air, and it was like whoom. And I had flames going up to the rafters in my garage, and that thing was red hot, right? When I touched it,
I got rid of that house, too.
right, yeah, no, it was red hot. So I just, when I flopped the thing back down, I burned my hand, but the fire went out. Nothing caught on fire other than the grill. But
Your wife won't let you forget it.
No. The wife, Wood. Bob won't. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So here's the deal. He was single at the time.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just filling in.
But anyway, so stuff happens, right? And as long as nobody got hurt, everybody, it just makes a good story. But anyway, so with regard to your space that you're looking at, plan it out, get out the tape measure, measure your equipment,
draw it out.
Right. And here's
a piece of drafting paper or something and just draw it.
Right. And to scale.
Yeah.
Because that way you're going to know. And don't forget workspace on either side or
both
sides of your grill, because you're going to have raw food that you're going to lay down or set on there on a platter there. And then when you're done, you're going to have cooked food.
Well, you got to have your beer holder on one side.
There's that too. I just didn't get to that yet. But but anyway, so you want, and you know, you want 18 inches is a good number when we're planning on either or both sides if you can get it, because that holds most any platter that you're going to have. If you get much narrower than that, you might be dinking around with something that's too big for the area that you got to set it in. But anyway, that's kind of like how I roll too. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk maybe about some shelter, flooring, all the other stuff on your back patio. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center. Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. Thanks for tuning in. If you're just tuning in, I'm not sure what you missed. Not much, but...
Bunch of gibberish.
Right. We're talking about your grilling space in your backyard. Now, we've talked about the kinds of grills. We've talked about maybe laying it out.
Yep. So... I guess what I would like to know is, what is your ability? Because this is stuff, as a dad, I think, or a husband, you're going to have to do a lot of it yourself. Now, there are those of you out there with the means to hire everything done. If you can find somebody to even do it right now, good luck. But the chances are you're going to be doing the work. So what is your ability? So let's think about this shelter area in terms of, what skill set do you have, or your buddies combined coming over to help you? What can you manage? And then just plan your project around something simple enough that you actually get it done and you don't just put it off because it gets too complicated. And you can always redo it. This stuff isn't that expensive. I mean, you can, corrugated steel is the thing.
Right, yeah. The one I built last summer, I wanted a privacy wall between my sitting area and my neighbor. And I went and looked at plywood because I wanted a solid wall that you couldn't see through. And a sheet of plywood, I don't know what they are. I haven't checked this year.
It's stupid right
now.
It
still is?
Yeah. Okay. 2x4s, dude, 2x4s are $11.
Wow. Wow.
So you built it a good time.
Yep.
And you can take all that product and reuse it.
Oh, and I will. Yep. So, but anyway, the point I was going to make is at that corrugated metal, they were in 2-foot by 8-foot sheets,
yep,
and they were like $10 or $11, but it covered a lot of area.
Yep,
and a similar sheet of plywood was like $60 or something, because you need, you know, womanized weatherproof plywood. So the metal became a design feature then, and you still have to have a little wood to fix it to.
Long and short of it is, his neighbor bitched about it because he was encroaching, so he had to tear it down.
Yeah, even though I was on my side of the fence. Yeah. So planning.
So tomatoes. This year, grow tomatoes.
Yeah, right. We're going to grow something.
So you can throw them across the fence.
Right, yeah. But planning, this is a good thing. Check your local building code. That's what I didn't do, And as a result, what I built last year, I had to take down. I got nobody to blame but myself. I know better, but I thought I was in my own yard, but I was too close to the property line. And my the inspector came and said, you got
to
take it down.
We'll just have to have a little Saturday.
Oh, I got it. I've got it planned out, but I'm getting a building permit this time. No question.
Even to rebuild it?
Yep. Yep. Because I'm putting up a structure again on the other side of the pool. So I want electricity out there I just got to get it permitted, and then I'm going to do it. But there's homeowner permits and there's builder's permits.
Well,
and
this hopefully, is the owner's permit. Yeah, hopefully you have enough of that womanized.
I got it all. Yeah. Okay. It's all good. I just reconfigure it. It'll be fine. I'm going to, whatever. It'll work. But shelter is important. Two things. I've been grilling all winter, and I think two or three shows ago, I might have shared, if you were listening, that I went out to cook, and the grill kept getting blown out by the wind. And I had a shelter on one side of it, but the wind was coming from the other direction.
Well, the design of that G-Sport is such that it does want to blow it out.
Right.
While it's burning, it'll blow the whole flame out.
Right.
Yeah.
And but at the end of the day, I thought I was going to be serving food, and the grill had blown out, and it was cold, and it just was a delay. But so
you really have to think about where your prevailing wind is.
Right.
Because typically in Michigan, it's going to be west, southwest, and some northwest.
Right.
But the prevailing wind is southwest.
Right.
So that's going to be your biggest thing to fight. You get your occasional, I think 10, 11% of the time, it's an east wind.
Right.
Per my hunting numbers.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, that corrugated metal, too, is non-flammable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's good to put your grill not tight against it. You still always need an airflow, but you can put it back up against that corrugated metal and not have to worry about it catching on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. But a roof over your tools is a good thing.
So nice.
And you'll not regret it if you take the time to do it. Put a little pitch on it. Make sure you support it. We do get snow in Michigan, and you don't want a snow load tearing it down. There's two or three times a year where you might have a foot of snow up there, and if it starts to melt, that stuff gets really heavy, right? So you just be careful with
that. I love that roof I put up over my spot.
Yep.
I grilled so long and never had one.
Right.
I don't know why I waited.
Stood in
so
the
long.
Rain, stood in the sun, whatever it may
now
be.
Now I'm going to build one over in the gas area on the deck, just a small one.
Yep.
Make it like a little wishing well, just something to give me some shelter and some shade.
Yeah.
That, if you build a house from scratch, if I would have thought this out when I rebuilt my house, I could have configured that roof in a way that would have extended it that way. But, we were dealing with cash and a budget. Everybody does.
That's real, man. That's what people have, right?
So I'm going to make a basic little structure for that. And then I'm going to match it up with the pool house. I'm going to put the same roof on the pool house, and we'll be very reflective from the sky.
Yeah, right. As the drones fly over, right? But anyway, there's a lot of ways to do this. There's no right, no wrong way. If you're going to get into water, boy, that gets expensive.
Don't do it.
And yeah, I'd rather cart my water out to my grilling area. Having water out there is, to me, a luxury. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of issues with it because we have freezing winters and warm summers.
Of us have a utility room with a laundry tub.
Right.
And you can just haul your stuff in there to clean it if you
have
to. Because it's not usually, my wife doesn't like me bringing that stuff in the kitchen because there's black everywhere.
Right, yep.
So we've got this big, I put in a big laundry tub in the laundry room, and I just bring that stuff in there, and it's fine.
Yeah.
And it's on my way in from the gas area into the house anyway.
Yeah.
So.
And you don't need ice makers because, honestly, I've put those into people's kitchens before, and the ice gets bad because they only use it on the weekends, and then all week it gets together and it clumps up in these ice makers. So Friday night when they want to have a party.
We use a lot of ice.
We do too, but it's buy the 20-pound bags and throw them in coolers and use it out of there.
Well,
I don't need a maker.
That I don't know that I would necessarily have to agree with. The refrigerator in the basement, the ice maker there does get kind of old, but the one upstairs we empty all the time.
No, I'm talking about having an ice maker on your deck.
Not sorry. One
in your house, on your deck.
Oh,
yeah,
oh.
We have them in the house too, but
yeah.
I'd never have one on the deck just because you use it for 2 days and then you don't for five, and it's not what you want to do. So the other thing is for the gas griller, if you can pipe your gas hard piped to your grill, you will love what you've done.
Well, I'll tell you this. You can pipe it.
Right.
There's
well,
not you, an if. You. There's not a spot you can't get gas to, so don't think you can't do it, and don't build this thing without putting that gas pipe in, whatever you do.
Right. And the point being is Bob has skills in that area. I think I do too, but I had him over to help me when we did
say,
it. Right.
You have a buddy that'll do it
right,
somewhere.
Right.
And if you don't, you have a neighbor somewhere who's a plumber who would love a little moonlight cash. You're just running a little pipe.
Right.
It's not that tough.
Right.
Before you get
full disclaimer, you probably need a permit, but who knows?
I don't think so.
Yeah, who knows? But in electricity, that's, to me, that's a must.
That's a biggie.
Because it's having a place to charge your devices for and a Bluetooth speaker.
Yep.
And you want some lighting
well,
out there.
Who knows what you're going to do in the future?
Right.
You know, you got to have power.
Right.
And the lighting, got to have your little jalapeno light somewhere.
Right, exactly. And make sure that all of that stuff is working, switched. You know, you've got your GFI breakers because that stuff is outside.
Yep.
The electricians will tell you that it needs to be on its own circuit because it's outside. So there's just a few things that you've got to work on, but... Boy, is it nice to have when the guests come over and everybody's got a device and you got two or three chargers there and everybody
yep.
just hooks up and everybody's having a good time. You know, if you want a fan, if it gets too hot or there's another thing is that you can get these little directional fans, mount them in the ceiling and blow it at your grill from a distance just to help you manage the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Because depending on which way the wind is blowing or if it's not,
yeah.
then it can get smoky
well,
under an enclosure.
I found that out. You told me that mine would be okay because it's a 10-footer. Well, when I did that Wagyu,
yeah.
it was so smoky I couldn't see.
Right.
So I think no matter how high it is,
yeah.
a fan is good advice. Listen
right.
to Joppy.
Just to exhaust that stuff away from there.
Yep.
But anyway. So, hey, there's a lot of things that you can do in your backyard. The bottom line is make it a great place where you and your family can go.
And we're just here to help you spend your money.
Right, yeah. And enjoy it and you know, invite people over. You don't have to be a gourmet cook to make this a really cool experience. And because guess what? If I'm coming over to Bob's house, I really don't care what he's cooking. I'm just the fact that he is and I'm not. So that's a good thing. but anyway, you know, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We talk this stuff all the time. Tell them how to find us on the web.
Yeah, thegrillingguys.com. And make sure you check us out on Facebook.com/thegrillingguys. Go to our website, sign up for the podcast, and look at our sponsors on the right side. Don't forget to give our sponsors a little love.
Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And go out there and create some grill envy in your backyard. And we will talk to you in about a week.
See ya.